The title of today's sermon is A House Divided. That comes from the scripture that we've often heard, which says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. God is for unity. Let's go over to Matthew 18 as we begin today, brethren. The word reunify means to cause a group to become unified again after being divided. And as sure as God is on His throne, there is going to be a reunification of God's people, His spiritual sons and daughters. And so I submit to you that if our attitude is one that says, God is going to clean up all the division and separation and put us all back together when He comes, if that's our attitude, then we're missing a vital element of our present responsibility. And there's a similar wrong position. And I think it's worse. It's one lacking in insight. It's the organization that says, Jesus is returning only to our group, and all the others are going to be thrown into the tribulation or the lake of fire, whatever. Matthew 18 and verse 10. We're going to look at God's attitude towards His people. We read in verse 10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones." And yes, that does apply to the little children that Jesus was talking to at the time. But it applies not only to children, but it also applies to the brethren, wherever they are in God's church. None of us have come to the perfection of Christ. We are all little children, the younger brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, if you will. Continuing in verse 10, "For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." God has His angels. Let's understand this, brethren. God's not trying to weed out everyone. He's not trying to weed everyone out, but He's trying to include everyone in. And when I say trying, I'm talking about the plan of God, because God succeeds in whatever He does. He's on a schedule, and His plan is right on schedule. Drop down to verse 14. "Even so, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." God's not weeding out people as much as He's including people in. Not one of these little ones should perish. We see why God has such a vast creation with so many potential sons and daughters in it. It is not His will that one of these little ones should perish. It's important that we, you and I, get on the same page that God is on and not expect God to be like us. Now, Paul asked the question, and you can put this in your notes. You don't have to turn there, brethren. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13. Is Christ divided? We mention this frequently. And we should know the answer to that rhetorical question. And it's no. Christ is not divided. But if we, you and I, would honestly look at the divided condition, the separated condition, the split condition of the church of God today, we would be forced to come to one of two conclusions. Either Christ's body is divided, or not all of us are of Christ. Now that's a scary scenario, no matter which one that you choose. And Paul told us, he wrote, that we are not properly discerning the Lord's body. If we're not properly discerning the Lord's body, we're eating and drinking damnation to ourselves. So it's not a casual matter just to say, "Oh, I'm not going to worry about it. It's not my problem. This isn't for me." It's for us, brethren. You and I have to be properly discerning the body, the brethren of Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. You and I, brethren, we know that we are being created in the image of God. Not the other way around. God's not being created in our image. We're being created in His image. We know God tells us in a number of places in the Scriptures, His mercy endures forever. Well, the first occurrence of that is in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. But we're going to 2 Chronicles. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, brethren. We are to look to the mercy of God. God is merciful. He's not out to destroy everybody that's not in some particular organization. Jesus Christ was sent to save the world. And that's the way that God looks at it. He died for all mankind. 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 14. And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heaven or in the earth, which keeps covenant and shows mercy unto your saints that walk before you with all their hearts. Now who are we to judge who is walking before God with all their hearts? This is back in the Old Testament. These people weren't even converted. For the most part, only a few prophets of God were converted. And yet, it's spoken of that they walk before God with all their hearts. How much more so are the people who have been baptized after repentance and faith in Jesus Christ? We don't know how many of them are walking before God with all their hearts. Next chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 3. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, that's the pillar of cloud by day and the column of fire by night, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, this is when the temple was being blessed and God's presence was there, they bowed to themselves with their faces to the ground above upon the pavement, and they worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, yes, God is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, my point is this, brethren. Be turning over to Romans chapter 10. We're not led by a pillar of fire today. We are led by God's Holy Spirit. When we are, how can we say that there are not others called by God, not of our particular fellowship, that also walk before God with all their heart? You and I try to walk before God with all our heart, but we're not to decide who else is. Now, there's some that we're almost sure, you know, they're not putting God first in their lives. We'll address that as we go on. But I'm talking about groups of people, people that we don't know personally all around the world. And what we don't want to do is make the same mistake that Elijah did and say, I'm the only one, or just a few of us are the only ones. We read about that in Romans 10 and verse 21. But to Israel, God says, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Here's people that are not doing what God says, and God's still reaching out to them. God's not ruling them out. We have to be careful as the children of God and the church of God, not just to rule out people because they're on a different page than we are. You know, when God's reaching out, it doesn't sound to me like God is looking to disqualify people, you know, especially those that walk before him with all their heart, as we saw. Now, there's no break in the text here, so if you'll turn over to Romans 11 and verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? No, God hasn't. For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, verse 3, Lord, they have killed your prophets and dig down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Elijah thought he was the only one. But what was God's answer to Elijah, who thought he was the only one that walked before God with all his heart? Verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So even so, Paul says, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Brethren, I submit to you that at this present time, we don't know all of those who have been baptized, converted, and that are walking before God with all their heart. We have to be careful to say, not to say, we're the only ones, you and me, Lord. That kind of thing that is so prevalent in the church today, so few people are willing to reach out across organizational lines and love all of the brethren. How did we get in this present predicament? Well, there were splits and divisions among God's people way back before this present time. You know, way back when the Church of God that we were all a part of became established as Radio Church of God. First of all, before that, there was a Stanberry Conference, and then some split off, went to the Salem Conference. You know, can we say that all of one conference were saved and all of another conference were lost? I don't think so. The leaders of a large portion of God's